and welcome to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University. I'm your host, Larry Burns, Vice President for External Affairs at the University of Toledo. You know, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Medical College of Ohio, the nation's 100th medical school located in Toledo, Ohio, was officially created on December 18, 1964, when the then Ohio Governor James A. Rhodes signed legislation establishing the school. And this year we're celebrating that milestone, and tonight we have some great guests. Dr. Tom Wakefield, a 1978 Medical College of Ohio graduate, who is now the head of vascular surgery at the University of Michigan, will join us, along with Dr. Kenneth Kropp, a professor emeritus of the medical school who started the kidney transplant program, and Dr. Bill Krauntz, who graduated from MCO in 1979 and is now senior director of worldwide health for the Microsoft Corporation, and Dr. Donna Woodson, a Toledo area physician who was a member of the charter class of MCO. And it's all coming up next, right here on the University of Toledo's The Relevant University, here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR. Dr. Thomas Wakefield has been the head of the vascular surgery service at the University of Michigan since 2004. Dr. Wakefield received his MD from the Medical College of Ohio in 1978. A Toledo native, he is also a graduate of the University of Toledo. Dr. Wakefield joined the faculty of the University of Michigan Medical School in 1986 after completing his general surgery residency and vascular surgery fellowship at U of M. Dr. Wakefield, welcome to the Relevant University.
I'm very happy to be on the call.
Great to hear your voice. You're such a big part of MCO's history as well as UT's. And your experience at a relatively new medical school back in 78, how did MCO prepare you, Dr. Wakefield, for your career?
Well, I think at MCO we had an outstanding group of instructors and teachers, and we had really an innovative curriculum at the time. It was one of the first integrated curriculums in the country where early on in your experience, students were given the chance to interact with patients much earlier than at other medical schools. Additionally, at MCO, there was a great effort to try to help find a mentor for the students early on. And it turned out that the mentor that I ended up working with, who was a vascular surgeon in the community, Dr. Robert Navarre, was very influential in my eventual career choice of wanting to be a vascular surgeon. And so that was, for me personally, a very important part of my medical school experience, was meeting up with Dr. Navarre.
You know, he was a mentor of mine.
Ah.
When I was at MCO and president of the foundation, Dr. Navarre was on the board and really mentored me as a person moving into Toledo with not really knowing anyone. So
yeah, no, that was
he was awesome.
He was awesome, and that occurred because MCO had this very unique program where within your first 2 or 3 months, they matched up the student with a physician in the community, and then you spent time with that physician. And so those 2 days of spending time with Dr. Navarre then over the next 3 years ended up with me spending time whenever I could in his office, going to the operating room with him, and had a lot to do with my wanting to become a vascular surgeon.
Did it also influence you to seek academic medical center life versus private practice?
Yeah, well, two things about that. Number one was I had another great connection at MCO, and that was Dr. DiDio, who was the chairman of anatomy. When I was a high school student at St. John's High School, I had this unique opportunity to spend time in the summers between my sophomore, junior, and junior, senior year working with Dr. DiDio, and then through undergraduate work when I was at the University of Toledo, I continued that work. And so over those 4 or 5 years in high school and college, I had the opportunity to see what it meant to be an academician and to work at an academic medical center, and that had a lot to do with my eventual career of being in an academic center today. So So MCO provided not only the faculty, the curriculum, the teachers, but also two fantastic mentors for me personally, which has gone a long way to where I am today.
Absolutely. And we're talking with Dr. Tom Wakefield, who is head of the Vascular Surgery Service at the University of Michigan, and both a graduate of the University of Toledo and MCO. And I know you and I have chatted about this before, but do you see the merger that Dr. Jacobs, another one of your mentors, I think, or at least colleagues, has strengthened, in essence, both UT and MCO and the value of the degrees that you have?
Oh, yes. I think, you know, on many different levels, from just the fact that now the alumni associations are joined together makes that a much stronger association. The fact that there is both a medical school, a law school within the entire university, I think, makes the University of Toledo really a unique place. There are very few places in the country, as it turns out, that have both a medical school, a law school, an undergraduate school, and have D1 athletics in the same institution. It's very unique. So University of Toledo is much stronger, I believe, because of this merger, and I think MCO is much stronger also because of being able to have a large group of undergraduates who are involved in many of the activities that occur on the medical campus.
You know, yes, and I agree. I think the fact that we are together now has enhanced our ability to brand ourselves. And frankly, a medical school and the health system we have increases that value of that brand, because there aren't that many universities that have all of that, like you mentioned.
Absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I know you're an avid supporter of UT athletics and travel to many of the away games and bowl games, and how does college sports promote the brand of your University of Toledo, and where do you see that sort of headed in the future?
Oh, well, thank you. Well, first of all, I will say that growing up, University of Toledo and University of Toledo sports, football, basketball, were really, really important for me. I spent a lot of time with my father going to most of the home games and many of the away games. And so, you know, for me, there was no question that I wanted to be a Rocket as I was growing up in high school and college. I think the fact of getting the name out in the country it helps, you know, not only branding the university, having good sports teams, but branding the university just as being a very high-quality place that is visibly nationally. And, you know, I think the athletic program enhances the overall institution. At the same time, the institution has to have also outstanding academics in order for that branding to take hold, and I think we have both.
Yeah, absolutely. And our what they call the APR of our student athletes were released recently, and our football team in particular did the best in the Mid-American Conference. So
yes,
so appreciate it very much. We're very proud of you as a Rocket and as an MCO grad. We appreciate all you do for the university, and so we hope to see you soon.
Well, it's very important to me, and you know, I just had the great opportunity a week ago to become the president of the Alumni Association, and as I said at that time, you know, it's one of the most important associations and societies that I belong to. It really says to me a lot about who I am, and the way I can at least give back a little bit to both of these great institutions who have given me so much and allowed me to have such a great start in life.
Well, we're fortunate to have you, and we'll see you soon. That was Dr. Thomas Wakefield of the University of Michigan and a proud UT grad as well as an MCO grad. Now, coming up next on this show, we're going to hear from an MCO faculty member who performed the region's first kidney transplant. When the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues, here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR. Dr. Kenneth Kropp is a professor emeritus of urology at the University of Toledo College of Medicine and Life Sciences. The pediatric urologist performed Northwest Ohio's first kidney transplant operation in 1972. A year after he joined the MCO faculty as chief of urology. Now, the kidney transplant program at the University of Toledo Medical Center recently completed its 2000th procedure. Dr. Kropp is internationally renowned for developing a surgical technique that bears his name to help children who are incontinent because of a neurological dysfunction of the bladder. Dr. Kropp, welcome to the Relevant University.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And, wow, 1972.
Yes,
we were so fortunate to get you to come to Toledo. And can you talk a little bit about your experiences as a faculty member of a new medical school in those early years?
Well, it was, I came in actually 71. The class, I think, graduated in 72, so they had been here doing mostly kind of basic science stuff. But the, I mean, it was a real challenge setting up a new curriculum, getting to know the other faculty, working together, and then you never knew what, you know, the final product was going to be until they finally did their national exams, and then you were elated because they all did very, very well. But it was just a lot of excitement around the new medical school.
And over the years, have you seen, or can you talk a little bit about the importance of bringing a medical school to Northwest Ohio and Toledo in particular, and what it's meant to the community from a physician standpoint, from a general community standpoint?
Well, a medical school is a great resource for any community. I mean, if you look at all our medical schools, they're things that happen around them, the community benefits, the innovative things, the high quality of faculty and doctors that come that want to teach. It raises the standards, I think, for the entire community in terms of delivery of health care. I think there's everybody benefits basically by having a medical school in their community.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of the physicians I know in Toledo are MCO and now UT graduates. So it really has provided the sort of the flow of physicians over the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because I mean, you know, they're here for medical school. Sometimes they leave to go for residency programs, or they come here for residency programs from other medical schools. But it just brings lots of professionals in the health professions together, and it really the community benefits.
Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Ken Kropp from the founder of the urology department at the former Medical College of Ohio, now the University of Toledo College of Medicine. And as it relates to our residency program in urology and maybe orthopedics and others, how does a school like UT College of Medicine stack up, in your opinion, to other maybe more well-known schools?
I can certainly speak for urology. The benchmarks are basically the performance on boards and in-service examinations, and the residents from all the residency programs in the United States are kind of compared. And when we see the results of our residents in urology compared to the nation, we are very, very pleased and high up on the ladder of really good performers. And then you get the feedback when these people go out and into practice. And I've had so many that have called me and have said that you've really done a great job of training this person. He's a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. He's a great doctor. He interacts beautifully with patients. He's an excellent surgeon, cares. And when you get that kind of feedback, you know, that's very helpful in terms of your assessment of how the residency is doing.
Right. Now, you performed the first kidney transplant in Toledo in 1972. Do you remember that experience?
No. I'll never forget it.
Can you talk a little bit about it?
Well, it was, I had recovered some kidneys here in northwestern Ohio, and because I was from Northwestern, I sent the kidneys on ice back to Chicago. But we had recovered maybe half a dozen or a dozen organs before the first transplant. So there was a little bit of background, but to set up the program to make sure that everybody felt comfortable with it, the university and even the Academy of Medicine here in Lucas County. But it came about that we had a very, very good match with a kidney that we recovered from one of the patients that was on dialysis here in Toledo. And We very meticulously went through the transplant, started late at night, around 11 o'clock at night. I think we got done around 4 or 5 in the morning. But it was, I mean, I can close my eyes and remember.
Wow. Now, 2000, we celebrated that recently. How's that make you feel?
Oh, my goodness. That, what that speaks for is good people that have come, that have supported the program, that have taken up the reins, if you will, and brought new innovative ideas in terms of how kidneys can be distributed, living donors, donors that don't have relatives that want to donate a kidney, mm-hmm. and how that process works. There's a lot of innovative things that have happened, and it's the good people on the surgeons and the rest of the transplant team that makes 2000 possible.
Yes, and we just did a video on the patient that received the 2000 kidney, and he was delightful, and
On
YouTube. And now I know that you've encouraged a number of medical students to pursue a career in urology. In fact, your son Brad is a urologist, and tell us more about your passion for the specialty that you chose.
Well, I think urology is an interesting surgical specialty because it is really both a medical and a surgical specialty, and it allows a person to really act fully as a doctor. The urologist diagnoses and then treats his problem, the patient's problem. It's a little bit different than, for an instance, an internist will diagnose the problem, but if it needs surgery, it has to be sent to the surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And the surgeon really didn't get a chance to diagnose the problem. But in urology, we have a body system that we cover, and then there's long-term follow-up, so it's a very, very attractive specialty.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite stories about Dr. Ken Kropp is, I don't know, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a friend whose child had some issues, and so they called somebody in, I think it was Boston, and said, is there a urologist in Boston that that you'd recommend for my son? And the person says, well, where are you calling from? And the parent said, Toledo, Ohio. And he said, in all due respect, why aren't you talking to Ken Kropp? And so one of the issues we have in Toledo is to make sure that our community and the region know the great things that occur at our medical school and our hospital, and you certainly have been a legacy of that.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it very much, and hopefully we can celebrate the 50th anniversary of MCO together at some
Good.
Point.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, say hi to Patsy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Dr. Kropp.
Okay, bye.
Yep, that was Dr. Ken Kropp, who founded the MCO's kidney transplant program. And coming up next, we'll hear from an MCO graduate who now leads Microsoft's healthcare operations. It's when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues right here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR. Dr. Bill Krauntz is Senior Director of Worldwide Health for the Microsoft Corporation. The 1979 graduate of the Medical College of Ohio is responsible for providing worldwide thought leadership, vision, and strategy for Microsoft technologies and solutions in the healthcare provider industry. He has been a member of the Microsoft team since 2002 and is internationally known for his work in medical communications and information technology. And also as a board-certified family physician, Dr. Krauntz practiced medicine in the Seattle area for more than 20 years. Dr. Krauntz, welcome to The Relevant University.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your show. By the way, you know, I'll add to that that I'm also a graduate of the WW Knight Family Practice Residency Program with Toledo Hospital.
Excellent. So. Yep.
Yep. even deeper roots.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're still a great partner of ours in Toledo. Now, you know, you and I have known each other for a while and have always been so impressed with the great work that you do at Microsoft. Tell our listeners about your role as a medical doctor, as Microsoft's Senior Director of Worldwide Health.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, it's kind of funny. I was just commenting to some of my colleagues today during a briefing at our executive briefing center in Redmond here that a lot of times, even today, I hand out my business card and they'll see MD at the end of my name and my title, and they say, "Well, gee, what do you do at Microsoft? Take care of the employees?"
Right. Right. Yeah.
And in fact, of course, that's
you
not
could do
what
that.
I do.
You could.
No, that's not what I.
Right.
I could, but that's not
yeah.
what I do.
Right.
You know, I've been here for 13 years, and it's actually been sort of the ride of a lifetime. And in terms of Microsoft and the healthcare industry, I think what people fail to understand sometimes is, first of all, about 1 out of 11 workers in the world works in some way in health and healthcare. So healthcare is a big industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's often the leading industry in almost any country. It's usually the largest employer in any city. You might be surprised, others might be surprised to learn that Microsoft is actually a very big industry in the health provider, mm-hmm. payer, and life sciences industries. And all up, it's about a $4 billion business for the company.
Wow, $4 billion. Now, you do a lot to communicate health news to the public through your online video series, which is called Microsoft Health Tech Today, and Microsoft's health blog. Tell us more about those efforts, and I know that you... that you do very, very well in those environments.
And well, some people may recall that I actually was a television broadcaster before I was a physician.
I was just reminiscing about that to our folks in the studio.
We can talk about that a bit more later. But in terms of my work here at Microsoft, I mean, I've always been one who has looked at, you know, how you really scale communications on larger platforms. And so naturally, particularly in this age of social and digital media, and coming from the company I come from, we put a lot of emphasis in how we can reach out to a worldwide audience using the tools at our disposal. I mean, back in the day, there were a few television stations and a few networks, and the choices were rather limited. Today, I mean, anybody can basically has a worldwide platform mm-hmm. to broadcast and communicate and collaborate to the world, in thanks in part to the amazing technologies that Microsoft produces. In fact, I sometimes will kid about the number one telemedicine platform in the world, rightly or wrongly, has turned out to be Skype. We have other solutions mm-hmm. that, quite frankly, are better for securing
right.
all of that, but nonetheless, that's the case. So about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when blogging was coming into fashion, one of my managers here said, "Well, Bill, why don't you write a blog about your work here at Microsoft, and we know what our customers and partners are doing around the world." What I didn't appreciate at the time was sort of how digital and social media would take off. And in fact, now I would say probably my health blog impacts more people around the world than anything I ever did on television, including network television. So it's amazing how that plays out. And then in the same way, for 3 years, we produced a series called Microsoft Health Tech Today, or just Health Tech Today. You can still find it on YouTube. Just type in Health Tech Today in a search engine. It'll pop up. And there we used video and basically some of my broadcasting skills to talk about what, again, customers and partners were doing around the world in the health industry using Microsoft technologies.
You know, this whole show is dedicated to celebrating the 50th anniversary of what, as we knew, is the Medical College of Ohio.
Yeah, it keeps changing its name.
Yes, we were Medical University for a short time, and now the University of Toledo. But can you explain a little bit to our listeners about your background? You mentioned you were in television, and your experience at a relatively new school when you attended MCO, and how did that prepare you for what your future brought you?
You bet. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, comment on the fact that I've had an interesting and amazing career, and I sometimes say I wish I was so smart. I just kind of stumbled into things. Basically, it all started under my undergraduate work at the University of Puget Sound in Tacoma, Washington. I'm from the Pacific Northwest originally, and although I was pre-med in undergraduate school, I won't bore you with a long story, but I got involved in hosting and producing a teenage variety show on television all through my college years. And every summer we produced and hosted this program. It got bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon I was managing rock bands and doing outdoor rock concerts and doing game shows and anchoring news on television and all kinds of crazy things. And I never got around to going to medical school. In 1972-73, the economy in the Seattle area was pretty bad, and as I thought about then facing a life lifelong career in television, I decided that I needed some management experience rather than just being in front of the camera. And I had an opportunity to move to Toledo, Ohio, sight unseen.
All right. Yeah.
Sight
unseen.
That's
a long way.
A long ways, but we figured it had a lake, so it couldn't be that bad. So my new bride and I moved to Toledo, Ohio in 1973, and I went to work as development director and eventually assistant general manager for WGTE Channel 30.
Got it.
And during that period of time, I started to feel bad about the fact that I hadn't pursued a medical career. I started to feel that if I stayed in television, we'd be moving around a lot and might end up in L.A. or New York, and that wasn't exactly what we wanted. Dr. Les Huffman was my family physician in Toledo, Ohio, now deceased. A great guy, very involved in family medicine, in fact, president of the American Academy at one time. I think in my interactions with him, he sensed in me a yearning for something else, encouraged me that it wasn't too late for me to go to medical school if that's what I really wanted, encouraged me to apply, and although I had thought about coming back to Washington State, I'd pay taxes in Ohio, I was no longer resident, and quite frankly, Ohio had five schools, and the university had one school, University of Washington had one school for five states, so I figured my chances of getting in Ohio were far greater than in my native Washington. So I applied, I got in, went to medical school, did my residency at WW Knight. That prepared me for being a family physician, and the training was excellent. The environment was fantastic. And so when I came back to Seattle in 1982 and joined Virginia Mason Medical Center in Seattle, pretty soon my broadcasting career caught up with me because I was known in this area for doing broadcasting. One thing led to another, and literally for the next 15 or 20 years, I spent half my time practicing medicine and half my time doing globally produced programs on Lifetime Medical Television, ABC Network News, our local stations here in Seattle. So mass media and television was a big part of my career. And then as the internet came along, I became fascinated as the internet for yet another platform for disseminating health information. And along the way, I got involved in founding a couple of different companies that were using internet for some of the early forays in health and medicine, including about 15 years ago, one of the first online ways that people could book an appointment with a doctor and see a doctor online using then available video technology. I learned a lot in that. We had venture capital, and of course then came the dot-com bust, and basically Microsoft asked me if I would like to join them in their then early days of the health industry vertical. I think we had about 20 people in the whole company at that time focused on healthcare. Today that's more like a couple of thousand. So it's really
it's come
changed
a long way.
13, come a long ways. Yeah. And again, that, you know, that experience that becoming a doctor, the training I got at Toledo, the residency program, my television background, my later forays into all things technology and internet, they all just played out in really what has been a remarkable and very fun and amazing career.
Absolutely, and you've done so much for us when we ask you to do it for our Alumni Association. I want to congratulate you.
And I'm coming back, by the way.
When?
Did you know that? I think the date is June 28th, but the residency program is celebrating its 40th year, I believe.
All right.
I know the medical school 50th years, and I'll be coming back to speak at their program and also visit one of our good customers, ProMedica, there in town.
Wonderful. So, I look forward to seeing
back.
You. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate
You're very
it.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you in June. That was Dr. Bill Krauntz, Senior Director of Worldwide Health for Microsoft. And coming up next, we'll learn about the very first days and years of the Medical College of Ohio from a Toledo physician who was a member of the school's charter class. That's when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR. Dr. Donna Woodson, a family medicine physician with the University of Toledo Medical Center Family Physicians Regency Court Office, was a member of the charter class of students at the Medical College of Ohio. She was one of three women enrolled in the first class of 32 students in 1969. She also was the first female president of the Toledo-Lucas County Regional Board of Health and the first female president of the Academy of Medicine of Toledo and Lucas County in its 150-year history. Dr. Woodson and her classmates can tell you how the current campus, it was just a cornfield back then, but has grown to a leading medical school in the country. Dr. Woodson, welcome to the Relevant University.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burns.
Appreciate it very, very much. And This whole show today and tonight is dedicated to the celebration of 50 years of MCO. And can you tell our listeners about those first years at MCO and particularly what it was like to be part of the first class?
Well, you can only be first once,
absolutely.
And it was really quite an exciting time for us when 32 students from across the country came to Toledo and were a little surprised at the physical plant we saw when we found that our library was in the old TB hospital and there were still patients running around in masks on the campus.
Okay.
So it wasn't quite what we had heard it might be, but when they told us that that cornfield would someday be in the hands of an architect who would make something spectacular, we wondered, but then it finally came true. So it was an exhilarating time, but we didn't really know what we were doing because we were new, and some of the faculty were innovative, but I think perhaps they were quite not sure of what they were doing either.
Yeah. And now I know you were also intrigued by the different curriculum at MCO, maybe not offered at other medical schools, and did it make the experience something different or unique versus what others might have across the country?
The curriculum to me was innovative, and I was most excited, and I think my classmates were, at the fact that they let us see patients right away. Actually, about the second week in medical school, we got little white coats and went to the hospital and asked questions. And so that was really quite innovative. Usually students then, and many of them now, spend about 2 years with their noses in books,
right.
and they don't get to see patients until their third year. So here we were actually being able to at least ask questions of these patients. Now, we were a little surprised when some of our classmates wore their little white coats to the grocery store, but they were very, very proud. So we would learn about a disease, say the thyroid gland, mm-hmm. and its anatomy and its diseases and how it worked. And then they would bring in real-life patients so we could, see somebody with a goiter. And to me, the very best way to learn medicine is to get it connected with the patient. So that was part of it. And I thought that was very, very helpful in the way I liked to learn medicine. The other thing that really stood out in my mind, and we weren't quite prepared for this, and this was another innovation on the part of this new faculty to new students, and we were just really wanting to have upperclassmen to help us out, but we didn't, so I think that made us stronger. But one of the things they emphasized was the environmental and social aspects of medicine, sort of using the community as a laboratory. So this is my favorite example. They would actually load us in vans and take us to various parts of the city, and we would count rats in the alleys.
Hmm.
Now, I will say, Larry, at that time, we were really wondering what this might have to do with the future of medicine in our lives.
Right.
And so I was reminiscing about the rat counts a few months ago with the health commissioner of Toledo. And he was in the third class of MCO. And I said, David, do you remember when we counted rats in the alleys? And we really laughed because at that time we said, what's the benefit of this exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that we look back, we can say, well, David is the health commissioner of Toledo and Lucas County, and I'm the president of the Board of Health, and we're busy looking for grant money to try to combat the rodent problem. So actually, way back then, counting rats had some special meaning for us even years later.
Yeah, absolutely. Prepared you for years to come.
Yeah.
Now, I said in the intro that you had, I think, you were one of three females in the first class. And what was the experience like as one of a very few women in the college and practicing physicians in Toledo when you started? What was that like?
Well, I was so very excited at the thought of becoming a doctor. My mother was a nurse, and she was just dying to say, my daughter, the doctor. So I tried not to see anything that might have been a stumbling block. And if they were there, I don't know that I was too aware of them. I just thought, if you do the best you can, you'll be okay. There were a few things. One of the funniest ones was when I was going over to at least observe what babies being delivered, and the head of gynecology at a local hospital looked at the three fellows, my classmates, and then he looked at me and said, oh, where are you going to sleep? And he said, well, there's a rollaway bed back in the shower in the nurse's lounge. I guess you can sleep there.
Nice.
So you know, I just said, great, I'm not going to have to get out of bed in the morning to take my shower. So I guess didn't seem to be a problem. So now we look at the classes, they're 50% women, mm-hmm. and I guess it made us just feel more special.
You were a pioneer and led the way.
Absolutely.
And we're talking with Dr. Donna Woodson from the charter class of the Medical College of Ohio and longtime physician leader in the Toledo, in the Lucas County area. And so as a practicing physician, you've dedicated your time for many, many years to also be a community medical faculty member, teaching residents, and now you're a professor back at the school where you started. And why is teaching still important to you?
It is an opportunity to not only give back to the place that helped me get into the best profession in the world, but these students are marvelous, and I hope that those of us who've learned how special it is to be allowed a front row seat in other people's lives, that we can give to them the special meaning of medicine. And when I taught residents, they say that those who train in town stay in town, and we certainly are looking forward to having some of these fine medical students as they become practicing physicians stay in our community. Mm-hmm. And it does also keep us on our toes. We have to be available and know about the latest things in medicine to be able to teach them. So we have some amazingly fabulous medical students at the Medical College of Ohio at Toledo, as we used to call it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, earlier in the show I interviewed my friend Ken Kropp, and we had Tom Wakefield on and Bill Krauntz, and I asked them all, what do you think over time it has meant to the Toledo area to have a medical school? What has it meant to the community?
As I look back, we can all in this community be so very grateful to those, be it Governor Rhodes and Paul Block and the people involved initially, to have allowed this medical school to be here so that we are right in the midst of the leading edge of medicine. I think that's very exciting. And having these students stay in the community to take care of our citizens. Let me say that one of the most exciting things that's happened since that first graduating class in 72 is when the charter class graduated, that so reminded me of how far we've come from the cornfields, was last month the opening of this marvelous simulation center that is truly world-class. To go from a laboratory space where we had a classroom learning to this building that is allowing us to do the best and medical education for medical students and residents, and really put patient safety first. We had some Italian businessmen in town last week, and one of them was a biomedical engineer and said it was the most magical medical school setting he'd ever seen. And so that, to me, to see that, cornfields to simulation center, first class and world class, has been very exciting.
And you've been a part of it all along the way.
Well, when I was invited to come back home, so to speak, to help teach again, I was very, very proud, and I'm very, very happy to be part of helping these students learn to take better care of our community.
Well, thank you. We're very, very proud of you, and we're so very fortunate to have you around in the community and around UTMC. So, Dr. Donna Woodson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Burns.
And thank you all for joining us on The Relevant University. I'm your host, Larry Burns. I'm Vice President for External Affairs at the University of Toledo, and we're proud to sponsor this program. For more information on The Relevant University, you can visit us at www.utoledo.edu/The Relevant University. And follow us on Twitter, please, @TheRelevantU. It's @TheRelevantU. And please join us again next time at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, June 24th, you know, for more discussion on the role of colleges and universities in their communities, right here on the University of Toledo's The Relevant University, on the great voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.